thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And so this morning, folks, I just felt that it would be good for us to embark upon a little teaching series for the next 4 Sunday mornings, including this morning, as we look at the men behind the message, behind the mission. And of course, we've talked a lot about mission, and this is our focus for the month. It is our mission month. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the lives of the 4 gospel writers. We're going to delve into the characters and the personalities behind the men who wrote the first four books of the New Testament. So this morning, we will look at Matthew. We're going to do it chronologically. So Matthew, who was the dodgy dealer who turned a devoted disciple. And we're going to look at the lives of these 4 colourful gospel writers, these 4 men who had the tremendous privilege of writing scripture, writing the gospel accounts of the life and the miracles of Jesus. And so next week we will consider the antics of John Mark, who hit the pause button. He was a young man who early in his ministry messed up big style. He deserted the great Apostle Paul while they were on a missionary trip. He, for whatever reason that scripture lies silent, John Mark hung up the boots. He did a runner. He took cold feet, call it what you will, and he deserted Paul and he came back home. He hit the pause button, and we will consider if there's any reflections on our own lives about that. But he finished well because he joined the great apostle once again, and then he went on to write the gospel according to Mark. And then we're going to look at the amazing life then of Luke the physician. Luke was what I would call an investigative journalist. He undertook the painstaking task of writing down and presenting a thorough chronological account of the life and times of Jesus. And he wrote that for a very prominent and a very wealthy man in Jerusalem called Theophilus. To round it up then, the last Sunday of the month, we're going to examine the life of John, the son of thunder and the island exile. Of course, he was one of those disciples who had the privilege of being one of the 3 in the inner circle of Jesus. He is perhaps the closest earthly friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, reminding us that even Jesus needed friends. He needed confidence. He needed people who he could perhaps relate to a little bit better than those a little bit further out in the circle. And so today it's the turn of Matthew, who wrote the first book of the New Testament, and it's the longest of the 4 gospel accounts. Matthew is an extremely interesting character, to say the least. And he would be best described as a dodgy dealer turned devoted disciple. For our Matthew was a crooked tax collector. In fact, I don't think there was a tax collector in the time of Jesus who wasn't crooked. It kind of came hand in glove. And then after meeting Jesus, he became an honest apostle. He was the infamous tax man turned famous gospel writer who witnessed to the world. This once dodgy tax man changed from being a not so likable rogue, because nobody liked tax men, to being a reliable disciple and a loyal follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? By the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Matthew, life before meeting Jesus was marked with dishonesty and lies and stealing from people. And then when he met Jesus, it was turned around. He became an honest and a faithful person. I've said it before and I'll say it again to you. It doesn't matter what our past looks like, because let's be honest, I think we all have a past. Every single one of us. It might look different in your life to mine, but we all have a past. And so it doesn't matter what we have done or how many people we might have offended or wronged or cheated. Jesus wants to change our lives and turn us around, just like he did with Matthew when he met him that fine day. There might even be some who could fall into the category of being a dodgy dealer, who then become devoted disciples. So Matthew the Apostle, whose name means a gift of God, was also known by the name Levi. We're going to read shortly and we will hear the gospel writer referring to him as Levi. Levi, the word, the name means attached or joined in harmony. And so while Levi is a derivative of the priestly Levite, and the Levites, of course, were one of the 12 tribes of Israel, tribe of Judah. But after he encountered Jesus, Jesus being the lion of the tribe of Judah, he joined, of course, the band of loyal disciples, and he attached himself to them and to the Lord Jesus Christ in harmony to work for the Lord and to do work for the Lord. So his previous dodgy life was one of being a dreaded and a despised tax collector. And his fellow Jews hated his guts. Let's be honest. Nobody liked a tax collector. Probably don't like them too much today either. But in those days, and we'll dig into the story a little bit more, it was because the Romans had invaded the country. And of course, they were the overlords. They were the ones who were extracting the tax and the levies from the people. And they used the local people like Matthew to do that. You see, the Romans were brutal overlords. They occupied the land, they ruled the land with an iron fist. And so this dodgy dealer, before he became a devoted disciple, he would have been merciless in demanding taxes from people. He would have been relentless in siphoning off more than a little for his own little greedy pockets. A tax collector or a publican, which scripture labels them as, would have had no morals. They would have had no friends apart from other publicans or tax collectors, but they would have had no end of money. They were ranked so low in society that they were often classified as being tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. What a label to have. Now, Matthew would actually have been a very clever guy. He would have been literate in both Aramaic and in Greek, which served him well as he started to write the gospel narrative approximately 20 years after he met Jesus and began to follow him. And so, folks, just to let you know that Matthew's message was primarily to a Jewish audience. Last week, if you were with us or if you listened to the podcast online, you will remember that we looked at the genealogy of Jesus. We read from the very first chapter of Matthew, a difficult chapter to read, perhaps a difficult chapter to understand because it's about the lineage and the genealogy of Jesus. But we picked out the ladies who Jesus had been. They were the ancestors, and how so many of them had a really, really dodgy past, a really disreputable past. And so you see that Matthew was writing to the Jewish audience. This is to be contrasted with Mark's gospel, for Mark wrote to the people in Rome. Luke, as we know, wrote for a very specific person, one individual, a mega wealthy man called Theophilus. And then John wrote to Christian Gentiles. And so Matthew's previous job prepared him greatly, as he would have been a good record keeper, but he also would have been a very keen observer of people. See, this dodgy dealer who cooked the books became a devoted disciple of Jesus, and he ended up writing a famous book, The Gospel According to Matthew, that is pride of place today, of course, in every one of our Bibles. Matthew, who once used to record in an ordinary book the debt that people owed, then became the man who recorded in an extraordinary book the debt that Jesus paid. I'll repeat that. I know that some of you are writing notes this morning. Matthew, who used to record in an ordinary book the debt that people owed, would then become the man who recorded in an extraordinary book the debt that Jesus paid. Isn't that fantastic? So let's look at how the Lord called Matthew, how the Lord called him, how the Lord changed him, how the Lord commandeered him, and how the Lord commissioned him. Four simple steps that should actually be mirrored in your life and mine as every follower of Jesus. I guess that when we look at the life of Matthew and we look at him as a character, his life paints a beautiful picture and reflects the simple way in which a normal person can be transformed by the power of God when they encounter Jesus. Matthew himself, Mark, and Luke all record how Jesus came across this dodgy taxman as he was busy gathering in the taxes for Rome while exhorting his own people to become filthy rich. But let's turn, please, if you will, to Dr. Luke and read about our investigative journalist's account of how Jesus called this one-time greedy taxman and how he changed him to become a great man of God, and how he commandeered him into his service, and how he commissioned him to do a glorious work for the kingdom. And so if you'll turn with me, please, for a moment to Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. Luke 5 and verse 27 says, after these things. So what are these things that referring to? Well, of course, prior to that, if you have time, you can read back into the beginning of chapter 5 is when Jesus actually called Peter and Andrew and James and John, two sets of brothers. Then we have the miracle of the leper being healed. And then we have the miracle of the paralytic being healed. And so we pick the story up in verse 27. After these things, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. He was sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And so he left all, he rose up, and he followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against the disciples of Jesus, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so, folks, we look first of all at how Jesus called Matthew. Matthew, the big wig tax collector's daily routine would have been to have set up his stall in his office, which would have been called a tax collection booth. The King James Version actually calls it a receipt of custom. And this was located on a busy highway in Capernaum, on the northern shore of Lake Galilee. And so all sorts of people, traders, business folk, and individuals would have passed by this booth, this collection point. It was known as a road toll. And Matthew would have been required as the customs officer of the day to charge a duty or a levy on goods or business transactions in one form or another. So that was his daily routine. That was his job. Whether you like it or not, that was Matthew's job, to get up, get dressed, go out of the house, go to his little booth, and then his job was to extract a tax from you. Of course, we do know, we've already said it, and it was a common thing that they would have asked for more than what the Romans would have got, and they would have pocketed a lot out of it. So Matthew was simply doing his everyday job when he first met Jesus. There was nothing extraordinary about the day. It was just a 5'8 guy doing a 5'8 sort of job. Now, all three gospel writers, Matthew himself, Mark and Luke, they tell us very, very little about the conversation between Jesus and Matthew. other than Jesus saying to Matthew, follow me, which of course was a big ask. And Matthew, we read immediately without any hesitation whatsoever, Matthew rises from his seat and he begins to follow Jesus. I couldn't help but think the presence of Jesus must have been awesome. Must have been awesome to have spoken two words to a man who was extremely wealthy, extremely successful. Two words, follow me. And the man gets up and he begins to follow Jesus. The presence and the authority that Jesus had must have been commanding. So Matthew immediately rises from his seat to follow this new rabbi. However, it's only Dr. Luke who adds a little bit more detail, just like what William said this morning around the table, and loved your word, loved what you shared with us. That little word joy, it didn't seem to fit in with going to the cross. Sure it didn't. You made that very clear to us. You know, that Jesus had, it was for the joy that was set before him. And likewise, when we read in Luke's account of the interaction between Jesus and Matthew, he adds one more little detail, and it's this in verse 8. It says, he left everything. He left it all behind. Folks, this is such an important point because it sums up the necessity of us leaving our past completely behind to become true followers of Jesus. This was a really, really big sacrifice for Matthew because he was a really, really wealthy man. Somebody once said, if Christianity costs us nothing, then it's worth nothing. But if it's worth everything, then it should cost us everything. See, Matthew set aside his greed and his pride along with everything else and he followed Jesus. And this brings us to our second point this morning. Jesus changed him. So what was it exactly that changed in the life of Matthew? What did he leave behind? Well, he left behind his lucrative but dishonest trade, his lucrative but his dishonest job. Now, I'm not suggesting that when somebody becomes a Christian that they have to automatically leave their job, leave everything and go and follow Jesus, because it is a specific calling. But if what you're doing is ungodly and immoral, and if it is not an honest job for an honest day's pay, then if you become a follower of Jesus, you've got to leave that behind you. And so Matthew left his lucrative but dishonest job. He left his greed, his lies, and his self-centered lifestyle. For Matthew, it was all or nothing. It was all duck or no dinner. So for him, turning to Jesus meant that he turned away completely from his past. He didn't just turn away from it, he walked away. He literally walked away from the booth because he began to follow Jesus. And he didn't look back. Matthew never once looked back, never once. He hadn't a foot in both camps. He didn't pine after the old lifestyle. He immediately nailed his colours to the mast for everyone to see, and he threw a big party and he invited all his sinful friends, all of the tax collectors who were also hated by everyone else, and he threw this big party, this big feast, to celebrate the fact that he was following Jesus. You see, if we aren't changed when we encounter Jesus, then we have to question if something genuine has actually happened. There has to be a change in our lives. If a Christian continues to lie and continues to cheat and continues to swear and continues to keep their old habits, then what has changed? Matthew was totally changed after he met the Savior, because he left everything behind and he began to follow Jesus. And I'm just wondering, could there be someone this morning, I hope there won't be, but could there be somebody this morning and there's something that you don't want to lay down? There's something that you don't want to set down? There's something that you don't want to leave behind? There's something that's holding you back? There's something that's dragging you down? Because if you're not 100% committed to following Jesus, then there must be a very good reason for it. When Matthew first met the Lord, he left everything that would hinder him behind. Was it not Paul the Apostle who asked the Galatians this very poignant question? He said, "You were running well, but who hindered you? Who hindered you?" And folks, if someone or something is hindering us and holding us back from running well with Jesus, then we have to consider our position. Thirdly, Jesus commandeered him. So what does it mean to commandeer somebody? It means to enlist that person in their service. Jesus' purpose in calling Matthew and then changing him was so that he could commandeer him to become his disciple. The dodgy dealer would become a devoted disciple. And he was enlisted in the band of the loyal followers of Jesus. I've said it before many times, Christianity might have many followers, but it has few disciples. And there's a big difference in being a follower and being a disciple, and the life of Matthew teaches us that. But don't think that because that's okay for Matthew to be commandeered, that it lets you and it lets me off the hook, because it doesn't. Jesus has called each and every one of us. He has called us, he has changed us, and he's changed us because he wants to commandeer us. He has, in his sovereign will and his grace, chosen to help us with this task of helping to change other people's lives. We all know that when Jesus left this scene of time, that he left the work of building his kingdom in the hands of 12 men, who in turn then enlisted the help of other committed followers of Jesus, who commandeered more disciples to carry on the work of spreading the gospel. And then this happened from generation to generation, right to this day, when you and I have been handed the baton. Esther talked about the baton being handed from Jackie and from Carol, who had previously led the toddlers group. And so right to this day, you and I have picked the baton up from that very early day that Matthew and the disciples were given the authority and commandeered to build the kingdom for Jesus. And so we continue with this greatest possible privilege of serving the Lord to help extend his kingdom. And that's why we're having a mission month. Excuse me. That's why we're having this mission month. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do everything that we do. Whether that's a cup of tea on a Sunday night, whether it's any of our ministries or anything that we do on social media or anything that anybody does in this church, not from the platform necessarily, because there are so many more people who do things unseen. We do everything, because we want to extend the kingdom of Jesus Christ here on earth. So just like Matthew 2,000 years ago, we've been called by Jesus, we've been changed by his grace. Mervyn prayed about the grace of God, and I know that personally that means a lot to him, but in all of our lives, it's the grace of God that has changed us, and he has commandeered us into his service. Just like the dodgy dealer turned devoted disciple, we also have been commissioned. And so, folks, this brings us on to our final point this morning, that Jesus commissioned Matthew. Now, to commission someone is to instruct or to command, or actually give a role or give a responsibility to an individual or to a group of people. It's to give authority to get the job done. Every born-again believer has been given a role. My role is not your role necessarily, nor is your role mine. It is and it isn't in one sense, and I'll explain now in case you think I've lost my mind. We're all called to be obedient on the same conditions, the same rules, the same requirements as followers of Jesus. That's a given that we pray. It's a given that we read God's word, that we do personal study, that we fellowship with our brothers and sisters, that we worship the Lord with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, and to be faithful witnesses. That is standard practice for the believer. No exceptions. That is standard issue for the child of God. It's called the general will of God. We are called to be obedient to those things. But then there is the specific task or role that as individuals we need to discover and fulfill. For Matthew, his specific calling and the individual will of God for his life as a follower of Jesus was to become one of the 12 disciples. It was to become an evangelist, and then it was to sit down and write the gospel known by his name. That was his personal calling. But what is the Lord calling you, and what's he calling me to do? Well, of course, I know what he's calling me to do, because we believe without a shadow of a doubt that God wants us here in Ballymoney, Elim. And we are absolutely privileged to be here. It is our privilege to be here and to serve you. And so, first and foremost, my job, my role, my commission, my responsibility is to look after you as the flock. As the flock of Jesus here in Ballymoney Elim. My role as a pastor is to care for you and to look after you spiritually, to feed you spiritually each week, to build you up and to encourage you in your holy faith, and to encourage you that you don't lose heart, and if you do, to try and pick you up again. And to encourage each and every one of us to be part of that team that reaches out into the community. That is 100% what I am commissioned to do. But can I ask you, what is your role? What has Jesus asked you to do? What is he asking you to do? Because we are all called to serve. And if you don't know what the Lord wants you to do, then seek his face. Search out what his specific plan and will is for your life. If you don't know, ask him. If you've got a question in life, you don't know the answer, you go to the person who's going to give you the answer. If you don't know what your specific role and ministry and commission is, ask the Master. Have you asked him? Have you taken time to ask him, Lord, what do you want me specifically to do? Because there definitely is a role, a specific role that is tailor-made for you as an individual. There's a job for you to do that no one else can do. It's got your personal name on it. Call it your personal assignment. And so as I bring this to close this morning, let me ask you one more question. Where are you with God? Where are you in your journey with the Lord? Are you like Matthew, following Jesus, doing his will, because there is simply nothing else that you want to do, nothing else that you can do because it just burns in your heart? Or are you following him at a distance, like Peter did when he failed him? Is your heart close to the Lord, or is it far from him? Because there is only one of two positions that we can adopt. We're either walking with Jesus beside him, or we're walking at a distance behind him. Matthew became a world changer, not single-handedly, of course, not as a lone ranger, but as an integral part and a full participant of the Church of Jesus Christ. He was a close follower of Jesus. He fulfilled his calling. He had a fruitful ministry because he left everything behind and he followed Jesus. He left his past behind him and he didn't look back. So what are we going to do with this Jesus? If Matthew was here this morning, sitting in this very sanctuary, he would say this. He would say, I was once a dodgy dealer, stealing, cheating, lying, until that day when Jesus came, when I was sitting at the seat of custom, and he called me to follow him, and he changed me, and he commandeered me into his service, and finally he commissioned me to become a devoted disciple, and I have never, ever looked back. That's what Matthew would say. May this be our testimony too. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.